Welcome back into another edition of March to the Pod, presented by Eternal Roofing. We're recapping the spring football game from last week, and Ben's going to tell us what he saw. Going to go ahead and recap what happened at the auction and the day of giving for the Sam Houston yesterday. I should go ahead and also say we're recording this on Wednesday, so that day of giving was Tuesday.
It's a two-day event.
We're off to a fantastic start so far on this episode. Probably about as good as we were last week. Also, hey, speaking of being back, so is the miscellaneous section. It's back, too. Anyway, I'm your host, Corey Hope, the non-FBS insider at Dave Campbell's Texas Football. Find me on your favorite social media channel, at Corey Hope Sports. It's all one word, CoreyHogue Sports. I'm joined by the creator and manager of Sports of SHSU, again, all one word. He's on Twitter and Instagram, the chief operating officer of the Cat Fund, and proud Bearcat alum, Ben Sorrells. Ben, the other day, and we're going to – this is like a little bit of a Flying Squirrels update mixed into the beginning of our podcast here. So we're traveling. The game is at Iowa Park. It's this little bitty field like behind a Sonic. It's really tough to describe. It truly looks like something you would get out of the Sandlot movie. It really does. Like, there's a train that goes through the back and stuff like that, you know, like, it really is. It's one of those that you're like, wow, this is rec baseball, what it's supposed to be.
Yep. You painted a good picture with the Sandlot reference.
Yeah. So we're on our way, and we pass by this church who has their roof being redone. And at that point, it occurred to me that that would be the perfect place to call our friends at Eternal Roofing. And in fact, once again, Gabe is right on it. He goes, that has to be Eternal Roofing. You bet it does, son.
It is. It's impressive how bought in he is.
Oh, he is completely bought in. Heck, he thinks he's part of the podcast sometimes.
There you go. Guest appearance.
Guest appearance, yeah. Well, and the reason why Gabe is so bought in to our friends at Eternal Roofing is because they do a tremendous job throughout the Hill Country, the Houston area. And that's right, even the state of Texas up here in little old Wichita Falls, they'll do it. All you got to do is give them a call. They are the ones you want to call. They have the ability to inspect your roof, fast service, not going to pressure you, and they have exceptional workmanship warranties. Give them a call today. Area code 936-215-8539 will get you to the Montgomery office. The Hill Country office is area code 830-251-5673. Or you can email Taylor at EternalRoofingTX.com. And while you do that, go to EternalRoofingTX.com. Check out the website, the gallery. They've got some amazing things there that you could see the work they've done. It is really impressive. So, Ben, I'm afraid that I should no longer be allowed to go to this little Iowa Park rec baseball field if there's a full moon anywhere,
two for two, right?
Anywhere around this. For those who may not have heard the story or if I've ever told this, I don't know, but we're going to rehash what happened last year on this same field. We were playing an Iowa Park team. We were tied. Iowa Park had the last at-bat since they were home, hit one to the outfield. We ran the cut four play, ran it to perfection. Our guys had them out by 4 feet. I kid you not. Like, normally I exaggerate. I don't even have to this time, Ben. Like, the video was – he was three-quarters of the way down the line. Like, he wasn't even close to the plate yet. And the catcher tags it. He's out. We end up tied, right? The umpire, the only umpire out there behind the plate, calls the runner safe.
Angel Hernandez.
And he says, now, mind you, at this point, I graciously sprain my ankle as I'm trying to get out there because we have another assistant coach that I'm trying to keep out of jail. He's getting a little angry. And then my brother-in-law is trying to get the players. I'm going to the umpire to ask, what did you see? That's what I asked him. I said, what did you see? And he said, your pitcher interfered with him, with the base runner going to second base. And I said, not the hell he did, because I was hollering at him to get his butt behind home plate for cut four, like we were running. And he goes, well, then it was the second baseman. Somebody hit him. I was like, no, you didn't even see it. And then some random woman comes out of the Iowa Park dugout, who apparently I found out later is the wife of the Iowa Park coach. And she goes, no, he's right. I saw it.
Of course she did.
See, and this is where I start to get in trouble. I turn around to our fans, and I say the following phrase. Hey, guys, it's okay. She saw it. No need to worry about it. It's right. And she proceeded to call me an asshole. Listen, she's not wrong. We know that. Okay? But that's beside the point. We're at a rec baseball field. We don't need to be throwing out terms like that, even if somebody is that. You know, we got to be nice around the kids. That was last year. This last, I think it was Monday night, because all the days are running together. It's magazine season, if you didn't know. For those of us at Dave Campbell's, this is the period where the magazine gets written, gets put together, and we have like 4 weeks from Friday to get it off to the press. So there is a lot of angst around Dave Campbell's. So days run together. I believe it was Monday night. Could have been any other day of the week. I don't really care. And we're playing Electra this time. We get ready for the game, and there is no officiating representative. Ben, there is not an umpire for this game. Listen, it was a makeup game. I get it. Things slip through the cracks. We don't know who to get a hold of. The Iowa Park coach hates us. I don't know why. The electric coach finally gets a hold of someone. They call this guy who was across the street mowing, apparently. And this dude comes over and is like, I guess I'm here to umpire. And he was like, I really don't know what I'm doing. I really don't want to do it. He goes, I really am not going to put up with kids yelling at me. And I was like, oh, you don't worry about that. We'll handle that. I should have told him he should worry about parents. That's what I should have told him. Because apparently, once you step foot after mowing onto the rec league baseball field that looks like Sandlot, you should be the absolute best umpire. Way better than any Hunter Wendell stat or Angel Hernandez, like you said earlier.
Right.
What a show Hunter put on the other day with Aaron Boone, huh? That was ridiculous.
Yeah.
And I have other issues with Hunter because I don't feel he earned his way into the major leagues, and now we're way off track. You know, his dad Harry was an umpire for years and started the baseball school, the umpiring baseball school.
Legacy.
I knew that because I looked into attending the umpire baseball school. There you go. That was back when I was in my early 20s. Anyway, so the coaches talk, right? The head coaches, not me. I'm very low on the totem pole when it comes to coaching on this team. And my brother-in-law talks to the electric coaches, and they all agree. We'll let this guy call the game. Hey, we're here to play, right? As long as the boys get to play. That's all well and good. We don't show up to play in the first inning. Electra scores 6 runs. It's been how the season goes, right? After the first half inning, all of a sudden they're like, hey, we got to play baseball, and we're already losing. So we fight back. We end up taking like a 7-6 lead. And throughout the contest, there were close plays on bases. There were a couple in particular. Both of them went the flying squirrel's way, which is important to remember here, because I'm not saying that my side would have handled this any better. But a play at third base, kid slides, it's close, calls him out, thought he got under it, whatever. It was out. Went our way. Okay. Then there was a play at home plate. Their player slides in head first, tag comes pretty obviously late. He calls the player safe and then changes his call to out. He didn't want to be there. Again, that went our way. I was all right with either way because I knew we were either they scored or we got an advantage again, you know. And we don't get many good things happen to us when we go and play on that field very often. So I was all right with it. However, the Electra fans were not. And they started yelling at the umpire, and then he stops and yells back at them. And then the inning continues, and there's a pitch that I think it was a 3-2 pitch, I forget the count, but our pitcher throws he's that most accurate pitch is a curveball. That just is. So, whatever, man, throw the curveball. He does. It's low. And I even started to go, oh, that's all right, just a little low. And that dude rings him off for strike three.
He was trying to get out of there.
Well, that brought us to the bottom of the inning in a tie game at 7-7. We need one run. My nephew is on the base, and again, my family just seems to always be involved in some of these situations. I don't necessarily remember how he got to third. And I'm not sure why they got so upset on Electra's side, but they were very mad. No outs, runner on third, and this dude is just yelling at the umpire, and the umpire stops, and he's yelling back. And, they had a pickoff play. Like, my nephew gets into a pickoff play. He goes heading back. He calls them safe. You know, they're all yelling and screaming. He's screaming at them. They're all yelling at each other. Meanwhile, my nephew steps off the base. Apparently, the third baseman had this ball in his glove and tags him. But they start hollering, hey, he's out, right? So the umpire calls him out. So then I just called time, and I went out there. He was standing by the pitcher's mound. And this poor dude, man, this poor dude, he is automatically going, I'm done. And I said, dude, you should be. I was like, it's okay. You're right to be done. You're right. You don't deserve any of this that you're taking today. But I do have a question. If you're arguing with a fan, is it a dead ball situation? Because if it is, then my runner can't be out. And he said, well, yeah, he's safe then. That went over like a load of bricks, Ben.
Oh, I bet.
That didn't go over well. And you've got this one man. I'll call the game from Electra. I'll call it fair. Yeah, we're going to trust you, Mr. Electricide. He comes out there. So now my sister starts hollering, don't let him on the field or they have to forfeit the game. And I'm like, oh, geez, this is getting worse. Right? Like, it's just getting so bad. So I turn over there. I start walking towards him. I'm like, sir, you can't come on the field. And he said, why not? And I said, because you don't have a background check through the league. And he said, I've got a better background check than anyone else out here. I said, well, I don't know that. And he goes, I got an FBI background check. I'm a foster parent. I said, I don't know that. He said, I'm Electra's head baseball coach. I said, I don't know that. Right? I don't know. I don't know any of these things. And he proceeds to tell me how bad the umpiring is. And I said, dude, we're from Burke. We don't even know. We have nothing to do with this guy. Plus, he was mowing the yard. He didn't want to be here anyway.
Sounds like a movie or something, or an episode of a TV show.
So when the umpire said, okay, he's out, I didn't call time. I said, fine, whatever. Right, we end up tied. That's how the game ended. Game ended up tied. But every time I go to that, and here's another problem, Ben, is that field is not regulation. we play on a 90-foot base, 60-foot, 6-inch mound on our field at Burke Burnett. That's what we're intended to play on. Over there, this one is a 54-foot mound and, like, 80-foot bases. That is a big difference for these
kids. That's random. That's very random numbers.
Yeah, and so, like, when Iowa Park last year when they came to play us in the championship game, their pitcher got on the mound and started complaining because it was so much further. And, you know,
skipping everything.
I may have mentioned that's what happens when you play on a regulation field. I'm just saying. Maybe. Anyway, that's the story of the Flying Squirrels. We are currently 1 win, 2 losses, 1 tie. And
ties.
It's wrecked baseball, guys. For the second consecutive year, I am apologizing to my players for the actions of adults at a wrecked baseball game.
Maybe go 3-for-3 next year.
No, we don't want to go 3-for-3 next year, Ben.
We'll see.
We still have to go back to Iowa Park this year and play Iowa Park again.
There you go. We'll see.
It is going to be something else. But, you know, now at this point, I realize after wasting a good 20 minutes of your time that you probably didn't care about the Flying Squirrels. So we're going to get into what you do care about, and that is Sam Houston Bearcats and what Ben saw at the spring scrimmage. Ben, give us an update from that spring game.
Yeah, I thought it was really competitive. I thought we actually had a pretty decent crowd out there for the scrimmage on Saturday morning this last week. And similar to the first scrimmage, it was pretty evenly between the offense and defense, pretty evenly matched. Thought the defense probably won this one by a little bit, which was a good sign to see. I know the offense was keeping things vanilla for the most part, and they're still without so many weapons, so that does hurt them. And so I think it was good to see the defense perform well, though, and they're slowly coming along under the new system, and you can start to see them kind of adjust to what Skylar Cassidy wants to do. And then I think the other big thing is Hunter Watson didn't play, the Iowa Western JUCO transfer, had a minor knee procedure done in the past week or two, so he didn't participate. I know a lot of people were looking forward to seeing him but weren't able to, so I thought it was a really evenly matched scrimmage. Defense maybe had the slight edge, but it was good. It was a lot of fun. Thought it was a good crowd, and it was a good day in Huntsville.
Okay, how about if I try it this way? Who are some of the players that stood out, either during the spring or during the spring game, some guys that maybe we hadn't mentioned yet that really had a very good spring?
Yeah, I'll start with the spring game in itself. I think the star of the spring game was Davion Armstead, who might be your top cover corner coming into this season. Had a good year last year in the 3 or 4 games he played, but was hurt most of the year, so we didn't see a lot of him. But in the scrimmage, he did have an interception, and he did block a field goal, so had a really big day on the defensive side. So that was good to see. And then on the offensive side, I think there were a lot of – I think some of the stars from camp came from the offensive side just because of how good of a camp they had. The two guys that really come to mind are Simeon Evans and Lonnie Adkisson, two guys that really, really stepped up. Simeon kind of came into a role at the very end of last year and showed he could do it. We saw that and more this spring. And then Lonnie Adkisson is, I think, the number 2 or 3 highest-ranked recruit that we've ever had in program history, and got a lot of chances to prove it with how many guys were out at wide receiver, and boy, did he prove that he can play at this level. So those are the couple guys that really stood out from the spring and kind of from the scrimmage also.
Did Lonnie redshirt last year?
He did. Yep, he didn't really play at all.
So he's a redshirt freshman.
He is, so he's got 4 years left.
Wow. Well, that's nice. But I'm going to need you to bring me down off the ledge a little bit here, Ben. I noticed there was some portal activity, a defensive lineman, and some more DBs. I don't like losing any defensive lineman because that's depth a lot of times. I'm not sure about this particular case, but I don't like it. And then have they lost enough DBs that they really have a need now to go find a couple?
Yeah, on the defensive line, I think it was Daniel Tupuola. He got kind of pushed out because of the addition that came in Cordell Patt, who is going to be a real game changer, and I think it was just kind of a scholarship situation and a numbers thing, and so decided to move on. And so I think that's okay, and I think you upgraded at the position, bringing Pat into the room, the Trinity Valley transfer. The DB room, I think you've lost four or five at this point. Two of them were significant contributors last year, and Dakir Cobbs and DeMarcus Crosby. But they both really didn't play a lot this spring, so they weren't really a part of the rotation that was in there already. And then you lost a couple of the freshmen that came in from last year that would be redshirt freshmen this year. And so losing four or five guys, you lose some depth, you lose a little bit of the starts that you would have gotten from guys. And I talked to Skylar Cassidy at the auction on Saturday night, and they've already got a group of transfers they're working on to bring in. And they're looking at guys who can contribute for a couple of years. That's kind of what they're eyeing. I think they've got a solid four, five, six guys that they know can play. It's just a matter of maybe bringing in two or three guys from the portal to kind of solidify that depth now that you've lost a little bit of it. Not really too concerned about it all right now. I think you've still got a good core there. And then if you can add two or three pieces in the portal, I think you'll be just fine.
And they're active. They're very active in the portal. They've been offering there are things to be, you know, what kind of offers, things like that. You know, one thing, I was talking to an FCS head coach who used to coach at FBS, and he was talking about how you have, when in FBS, those are four-year scholarship commitments. When you make a commitment to a guy, a national letter of intent, that play, when they sign that, that commitment's 4 years. So they may not be on your football roster, but they still have the ability to finish their education in FBS. That's not the case in FCS. You cut, those are semester to semester agreements, all of that financial aid. It works both ways, right? Like, I mean, they can cut a player at the same time. Semester to semester, you know, guys will go take whatever scholarship offer they have sometimes. Now, there's also another problem with the portal, that a lot of them that get in aren't going to play anywhere else, and then they don't finish the school, and there's a lot to that. But I'm curious how much that changes how they can manage the roster for Sam Houston at the FBS level.
Yeah, and it's, I mean, thankfully you've got a lot of former FCS coaches on the roster, whether that be Keeler, Coach Buckner was there during that time, Coach Johnson, the running back coach, has been there during that time, Coach Cassidy and the defensive staff has coached a lot at the FCS level. So that's a point I hadn't really thought about when it comes to what the scholarships look like. But thankfully you've got a staff where almost everybody has experience kind of navigating those FCS, FBS waters and what that looks like. And another guy that, well, it's at the top of my mind, that I'm really excited about. We also added him on Saturday. It's Kendrick Dior.
Yeah.
From, you say he's from Coffeyville, but he only spent 2 or 3 months at Coffeyville. He had his freshman year at NC Central. As a true freshman, had 20 tackles, 8.5 tackles for loss, went to Coffeyville this spring and kind of fell off a lot of people's radars because he went the JUCO route. But now he's coming to Sam Houston, and I think he could be a real weapon for us, because he was a big time contributor at NC Central as a true freshman. So he's another name to watch out for on the D line, and why I'm not too concerned about where the D line is now.
Is that the NC Central Division III team that won the national title that year?
No, this is the team in the FCS.
Okay. Hey, I'm just asking.
Yeah. No, hey, either one might have been pretty good. This is the one that went to the Celebration Bowl.
Okay.
I think they went this last year.
Okay. Yeah, hey, look, was NC Central?
Because
I know there's the North Carolina A&T. I'm trying to think of the MEAC. I'm trying to think of those MEAC teams. I don't know them off the top of my head because I don't cover them. So
let's see. Yeah. Maybe I'm blanking here. Maybe I'm saying the wrong name or the wrong school name. Let me see. North Carolina Central. Yep.
Okay. No, yeah. I'm not saying you're wrong. I'm saying
you had me second guessing there for a second. Yeah, they're in the MEAC. Okay.
I was saying I wasn't sure. I don't know the MEAC as well as I probably should. I kind of need to get in there and know those teams a little bit, but there's no Texas team in it right now, so I haven't put any focus there.
More of a SWAT guy. But, yeah, NC Central at the FCS level, and they're a pretty decent FCS team, and he had a really good year as a true freshman.
Nice, nice. Well, yeah, that's a good addition. Anytime you can get that at a spring game, it just builds excitement at that time, right? Like, you like seeing them commit after they saw the spring game happen because that tells you they were impressed with what they saw.
Yeah, I think he actually put out his commitment graphic during the spring game while it was going on. And he was at the spring game, too. So he's fully bought in. He liked what he saw.
Completely bought in, which is good. That is good.
It is.
Any other portal news, anything else we should know about the portal coming up? Look, there's still six more days, Ben, for these guys to enter. Or should we be expecting any more of the Cats to enter?
Yeah, it wouldn't surprise me if there's maybe a walk-on guy that enters, or maybe a guy that's kind of low on the depth chart, but nothing significant from what I've heard. And then, obviously, these next couple weeks, maybe one more defensive lineman. I like the two additions you've gotten, and I said you needed two, maybe three, so you're getting close there. Still need probably one or two offensive tackles. And then, like I said earlier, probably two, maybe three DBs. So in total, I'd probably look for us to add four to five more guys on both sides of the ball total.
Is it wrong for me to be very concerned about the offensive line? The fact that last year they weren't great, and it's the same group.
I think everything on the offense looks night and day different this year. From the O-line to the way they execute plays to, I think, even the quarterback play at this time. Keegan obviously made big strides, but I think that's even come a long way from where the team looked last year. And I really like what Coach Bankston has done. I think the guys have really bought into what he's doing. I'm pretty close with Dalton Meyer, who is the offensive line GA this year. And he said there's been a big difference in between this year and last year. And so I really like the group. And they weren't as physical, didn't do as much as they needed to last year, but they've got a year under their belt. I think they feel more comfortable in the system. I like the new coach. And so I think we're going to see a pretty big improvement. Don't know if we'll be the best line in Conference USA or maybe even top three, but there's no reason why you can't be middle of the pack this year.
I'll be honest with you. I would settle for not making stupid mistakes and penalties at really bad times.
Yes, that too.
I would settle for that because when you keep costing yards, that's where you're hurting the team. That's what, you know, that's why I'm a little surprised all of them are back right now, because there were some that were repeat offenders at times.
Yeah, the only guy that you lose is D'Ari Patton, who's no longer with the team. He hasn't been with the team all spring. And I think a reason why I'm really high on this offensive line is the end of the year, you could start to see things click a little. They were extremely beat up, but they still saw things start to click. And I think Orion Irving at left tackle, he came in there the last three or four games. He was very good, and he's back there. Rhett Larson, who was the SMU transfer last year, he had a really nice year, and he's been getting a lot of reps this spring. And so a lot of them were really young. A lot of them, it was their first year in their system, or everybody it was. And so finding Orion there kind of at the left tackle position has been a big boost, and then getting Rhett Larson and having the other guys just develop a little bit more. So I think we're in a better spot.
That is certainly good news to hear. I'm not sure what's happening. I'm actually going to check this out. This is Wednesday. It's like 4:30. Oh, shooting reported at Arlington Bowie High School. One hurt, school is locked down. Well, that's not good.
No.
That's not good. At least one person hospitalized. You know, at some point at some point we got to protect our kids. That's all my point is on this. Yeah. We got to protect our kids.
One way or the other.
Yeah.
If there's anybody to protect. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, if you have kids, and for a lot of people, even if you don't have kids, you're still able, empathetically, to put yourself in a place where you could understand the fear that that would come if that was your kid inside that school.
Right.
You know, no matter whether they're kindergarten, elementary, junior high, high school, I don't care. That's your kid. You know, and so it's, you know, we need to do something to protect our children a little better. I don't know. Look, I just want to go ahead and point this out too, Ben. This is not a political speech. This is just a concerned parent.
We don't want our kids being harmed speech.
I don't want our kids to die at school. I think they should be protected and feel protected when they go to a place of learning. That's right. And I understand, look, the world's bad. Bad things happen. You got to teach them that, but not at school. We should be able to lock down the school to where that doesn't happen. Again, I don't know how it happens. I am a sports writer. I am far from being smart. And that I need other people to deal those out for me, but I need the people that can figure that out and make those laws. I need them to get together and actually do it. That's what I need them to do.
Yeah. I don't know what it looks like, but something's got to happen. And a lot of times it hits too close to home too. And that's when things start to happen, which should happen before then.
And when things happen in Texas, you know, it should hit close to home to all of us. I mean, we are all proud to be Texans, most of us at least. If you're not, then what are you doing? Get back to Oklahoma.
Right.
And speaking of proud, Ben, we are proud to be a podcast on the Republic of Football Network and an extension of Dave Campbell's Texas Football. Please like and subscribe to the podcast. Follow us on various social media platforms, including Twitter, Facebook, Instagram. And if we're on their Threads, who knows what's going on with that place anymore. Anyway, you'll find us March to the Pod. It's the word March, number two, the pod. It's all one word. And a special hello to those watching on Dave Campbell's YouTube page. Today, you get to see the corn dog, the Teddy corn dog hat, which the detail on this, Ben, is very impressive. It's got a bandana that is red for ketchup. And the eyebrows and mustache are mustard. They did really well with this one.
It is legit. You put that one on X/Twitter like a week ago, didn't you?
I did. I got it at the Frisco Rough Riders game. This is the Teddy Corn Dog. So it's on there with as much junk as I tend to post. And junk, people do want to know about it. It's mostly, I would say, 95% relevant. Maybe 90 to relevant to small college athletics. Yeah, we'll stick with 90. I'm not going lower than 90, Ben. I think I'm doing 10% okay for me to be rare and out there and whatever. But go to my media on Twitter X and scroll through that. You'll find it a lot quicker. It's a pretty neat little hat.
It is. It's really cool. And the ketchup. Is that ketchup as his bandana? Is that what we're going to call that?
Yes.
Okay. Yes, I love it.
Yeah, you could. I mean, like, when I looked at that, I was like, that's when I started to realize the detail of the bandana is ketchup. The mustache and the eyebrows and everything are mustard. It's that put it over the top as one of the best corn dog hats I've ever seen right there.
Yes, it is. It is very good. And what did you have the calf fries last week? Or maybe 2 weeks ago?
A couple weeks ago, I think it was. Calf fries, yeah. Oh, yeah, calf fries, and there's. Yeah, there's a new one coming out. There are some cool, like, hickory crawdads, too.
Right.
Hickory crawdad caps. There's some good ones there.
The biscuits.
The Montgomery bacon biscuits. Always one of my favorites. I like that hat still. I've had that for probably 4 or 5 years.
Yeah. And what was the other one, the bacon biscuits?
Yeah, that's the one. The bacon biscuits, I've had that for probably 4 or 5 years. I've got quite a few back there of, you know, just that I've collected over the years and bought over the years. And there was a period of time where my wife bought one all the, for like Christmas or birthday or whatever.
Yeah. Speaking of, I might be one of the one doing the transition here, but speaking of buying things, I had the opportunity to purchase a pretty neat item this last weekend, which I think might lead us into our next segment.
Is that your way of saying, Corey, stop it, let's go?
No, it came to mind. I thought it would have transitioned well.
I got you. It would have. It really would if Corey had gone ahead and talked about Eternal Roofing. So why don't we do that, and then we'll transition into the cool very, very cool item Ben got at the auction last week. But first, a word about our friends at Eternal Roofing. Look, we told you that they can, you know, they can do roofs. It's in the name. That's how we know they can do it. They can also do general contracting services. That exists for things like painting the interior, exterior home business, installing gutters, garage doors, floors, any woodworking you might need, ground molding, shelf. They can repair sheetrock if you've got somebody who put the hip through a piece sometime at some point. And Ben, it might be April 24th, but it is not too early to get on Eternal Roofing's calendar for those Christmas lights.
Oh, yes. And that reminds me, I still need to take that picture of my parents' neighbor who has Christmas lights up. I still need to do that because they're doing it. We need other people to get ready and get geared up because we're 6, 7, 8 months away at this point, and you got to get those Christmas lights going.
I can imagine there's nothing Taylor would like to deal with more than putting up Christmas lights all year round.
Do you think that's an easier or more intensive project than roofing? I would definitely say easier, right?
Yes. When I talk about putting up lights, I remember being on top of a scalding roof with my dad as we're trying to find the one bulb that's making the entire string go out.
That's true. Those are the worst.
Yeah, so I don't know about modern day lights because honestly, I hated that so much. I don't really put off lights.
Yeah, it's a lot.
Hated
I was
it.
I was the hold the ladder guy for a long time growing up, and I've seen that happen a time or two.
Oh no, my dad was kind enough to let me up on to the roof as I got a little bit older and could get up there and up and down easily. But man, and that there's no way to not get frustrated when you can't find that one bulb in the string.
Oh, my gosh, I know.
Which is why you need to call our friends at Eternal Roofing. Get there, get it scheduled. Here's how you're going to reach them. Hill Country, area code 830-251-5673. Montgomery County Office, area code 936-215-8539. Or you can email Taylor directly, taylor@eternalroofingtx.com. And now, Ben wanted this to be the first leg. Ben is so excited about what he got at the auction. And I got to tell you, Ben, I think you did pretty good. I think you did. You have an item that if I had it, I would have it framed and proudly displayed on my wall.
And that is the plan. I did have the opportunity to win the Eric Schmidt game-worn signed jersey, the home orange jersey from when he was playing here. So that was a very cool thing. I was glad I was able to win, which at a price that I thought was a steal. A lot of other things that night were not in my price range, but thankfully that one was, and so I'm excited I was able to win that one.
There was a lot of Mr. Benjamins flying around, and I'm not talking about them throwing you in the air like hip, hip, hooray.
No, thankfully. A little too big for that, I feel like.
Would have been interesting to see.
Right.
Would have.
I don't know if we'll get to see it.
Hey, this jersey is so cool. It has the Southland Conference badge on it. That was two conferences ago.
Right, yeah. Which is really only 2 or 3 years ago, too.
That's what's crazy to think about. And now the WAC is, like, done. They're falling apart.
I know. We made the right move. I mean, that's kind of a different subject, but.
Okay, we can talk about this for a brief second here. Because here I have a question. If Sam Houston had stayed in the WAC, would we see any of this movement back to the Southland?
I don't think so at all. I think it would have solidified the conference more. You would have stayed with your rival in the WAC. And I think there would still have been a glimmer of hope of the WAC before it became whatever alliance of whatever it is. United Athletic Conference. Before it became that WAC maybe could have gone FBS. If Sam Houston was in it, and New Mexico State was still in it.
Yep.
I know they weren't a football member at that time, but I think there would have been hope there. So if Sam Houston would have stayed, I don't think we would have seen all this going on.
You know what killed the WAC?
Sam Houston, New Mexico State leaving.
Yeah, it forced them to do an alliance with the ASUN. Now they've got the United Athletic Conference, which is completely across country. And that's even easier than the teams that are remaining in the WAC flying to Seattle, you know, for weekend sets in the spring sports and stuff and coming back and, you know, the time difference. There were a lot of things that I think people are looking back now going, man. But what really tore it apart was losing that, because then you lost your AQ ability. Once they lost that AQ ability, man, that you become desperate, and then they had to align with the UAC. And now the Southland is able to – and look, Chris Gray is great. He is an outstanding commissioner. He's able to go, hey, we have a pretty good deal back over here if you'd like to come home.
Yes, and I'm assuming ACU might be a part of that move as well, which would make the Southland even better.
I'm not shy in saying that. And this is my opinion. I want to – I know nowadays I have to be very clear. I have no knowledge – that anything of this is happening. But I will say, SFA, that came out yesterday. Matt Brown reported that yesterday, that they're wanting to hire an AD pretty quickly because they're wanting to get back to the Southland. I think that's probably true. And I do think Abilene Christian follows. I do not think Tarleton does. I think Tarleton uses that to – they're going to do their best to get themselves up to FBS, but if they have to wait, they would have no problem, I don't think, sticking in the United Athletic and playing maybe the WAC basketball for another year or two till they get, you know, now that they're out of that transition, that might make them more attractive to an FBS conference.
Yeah, exactly, and I know there's a lot of rumors going around about 12th member of Conference USA being added, and so that might give them the extra push to get into Conference USA. I don't think they needed an extra push, but I think
it's not them that need the push, though. It's Conference USA.
Exactly. Yeah, I think they're fully bought in. So,
and see, that's the thing. Like, we know Tarleton's desperate, right? They'll take it, but Conference USA has not necessarily offered it yet. I'm curious what that holdup could be.
Well, I don't know anything for sure. I know in May I've heard a couple people say that might be at the athletic director and head coaches meeting. That's when we might hear something. And it really sounds like it's going to be Missouri State or Tarleton, one of those two, if someone gets added this next year.
That's a tough choice. That's really a tough choice.
It is. I mean, I feel like Tarleton has a – if you're looking long-term, I think they might be the better choice, and you get into the Texas market a little more. But – if you want someone to compete a little more now, I think Missouri State might be the better one. It is, and they're a little more established. So it is a tough choice.
You might not say that when you watch Tarleton this year on the field.
Yeah, we'll see. I think I'm talking more
Tarleton.
Every sport.
Tarleton last year, if they were eligible, could possibly was an at-large bid. They would have definitely been in the conversation for an at-large bid to the playoffs, and that's their fourth year in Division I.
Right.
That's pretty
good.
Yeah,
football, they're definitely there. I'm thinking maybe athletic department as a whole kind of thing.
I don't know, man. They've been winning WAC championships in tennis, and they were right up there in basketball this year, men's basketball. Their women's basketball is slow, but it's struggling. But, you know, notoriously over the years, it has. Misty Wilson had some good time in Division II. But women's basketball hadn't been what the men's program is. Men's program is good. They extended Billy Gillespie. They extended Todd Whitten in football. This athletic department, and they got a new AD, by the way. This just really seems, I think, and I think if they come up, and I know this is not going to set well, but it would not surprise me to see them be constantly at the top of the conference in nearly every sport before Sam Houston gets there.
If they were to get into Conference USA?
Yes.
I don't know. I feel like I could have some – I think maybe on the women's side, you could definitely argue that. On the men's side, I mean, baseball, basketball, and golf are there already. Football, I think, is really close. On the women's side, you could definitely argue that 100%, though.
I'm not 100% sold that football's almost there. I want to see it first.
I think they're a bowl team this year. What it looks like after that, because you probably lose a lot, we'll see what it looks like as far as long-term sustained success, because right now you're kind of still riding the coattails of the talent from the national championship team and redshirting guys and having a COVID year. So I can see what you're saying there. Maybe the long-term success of football, but I think the short-term success is there.
Do you know the key? What I think is the number one key is why Tarleton would be able to come in and be competitive really, really fast.
Facilities?
Money.
From money? Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. It's the money they have. They are in a tremendous money spot at Tarleton. They are a puff school. They get some from the primary use funds of the oil and stuff. They get some, you know, the state of Texas has oil rights and everything, and they give these out to colleges and universities, and Tarleton gets their share from the A&M yes. system. And A&M is very big on boosting them up. And look, you talk about market, and I know people, oh, Stephenville. Guys, you're missing out if you think Stephenville is not the DFW market, because it is.
Right. Well, I mean, in Huntsville, you call Huntsville the Houston market, you can call Stephenville the Dallas market.
Can we also take a moment to tell the Texans that Huntsville is not their city?
Maybe they can give us one or two of their players for a year and we'll let them hang the jersey up.
Yeah. And by the way, that jersey? Eh.
Well, so my thing, I'm a Texans fan, so I like the new jerseys, but it looks like a hefty bag on the statue.
It does. It does. I think that's – I haven't seen the uniform. I saw the helmet. The helmet's okay.
You see the red one?
No.
The red one is the one that's really impressive.
Yeah, see, I haven't – when I've been in my dark lab since, like, Saturday writing this stuff, so I haven't seen – I've seen very little what flashes up when I take a break on social media. That's all I've seen of life right now.
Right. Right.
Yeah, hey, that's we all have those times in our work, right, where you get those busy times, and this is one of those for those of us at Dave Campbell's. It's one of our fun times. It's what we dread, but also what we love, because it is really a lot of fun at the end of the day.
And it pays the bills too, right?
Sure. Sure. I did it for a long time without worrying about it paying the bills. So
there you go. That's how you know you love it.
That's the only way. Look, this business is hard, man. I see people in this sports business, sports journalism business. It is not easy to get yourself into. It's not easy to get a position. I am very, very lucky and very fortunate, and I understand that big time. Big time.
Yes, it's hard.
It is.
It's hard to make connections, and I know we both work hard to make connections that we have. It's not easy.
And it continues, right? Like I think that's one of the things that I've really been thinking about here recently, is that part will never stop. There's always going to be some sort of change. Somebody else come in, got to start back over again.
Yep.
And for me personally, I got to buy into that. I've got to be right. Like, let's go, let's do it. You know,
especially when you're covering 3,000 schools or whatever it is you do.
35 football teams.
Yeah.
Including North American. Well, 36 if you count Sam Houston.
There you go.
North American, who I don't even know. Man, I try to get a hold of them. Like, you want something in the magazine, you got to help me out a little bit, is all I'm saying.
Help me help you.
That's right. I want to write about you, and knowledgeably, and not just random. Yep, right. That's a school in Houston.
It is. They have a team.
All right, so back to what we were talking about before we got off on the Conference USA, which I think, by the way, that is an interesting conversation to have about WAC and Conference USA and all that. But back to what we were talking about, the Day of Giving, which is still going on. And listen, this is your opportunity. You complain. You hear us talk about it. It takes money. We just told you. The reason why I think Tarleton would come in and be competitive quickly, money. If you don't like what you heard me say, give them your money.
Right.
This is the Day of Giving. This is how you do it. How are those days going, Ben?
Yeah, I mean, it's tough to gauge success because this is the first time you've ever done it, but I'm looking at the number here. There's 9 minutes left before it closes. And as of right now, there's been 719 donations and $211,000 raised. So I feel like that's somewhat of a success, at least. I know athletics has kind of been at the forefront of it. I know they had a tracking, I think probably half of those gifts out of the 719 or two athletics, at least half. I'd have to go dig around and try to find the number again, but I think it's been overall pretty successful and hopefully something we can build off of going forward and we can replicate every year.
That's good. And like you said, we don't really have a baseline. I don't know if there were any expectations set. I'm sure somewhere somebody had some sort of number they were looking at.
Right. Yeah, but 210,961 with 8 minutes left. Maybe we'll have a little push here in the final minutes. But, I mean, that's $211,000 you didn't have if you didn't do this. So that's a success. And then I know the football auction this week, don't know an exact final number, but it sounded like raised about $250,000. And so between these two, you're pushing close to half a million, somewhere around there, which is really encouraging. And a half a million dollars we didn't have if we wouldn't have done these things. So it's good to see us doing these kind of things.
Yeah, it is. It's critical. And, you know, it's one of those things, these days of giving, they are important for every institution right now, and especially one like a Sam Houston. And the other thing you could do with this, Ben, is they have how many people did you say donors?
Well, there's been 719 different individual donations. So that could have been someone doing two or three different ones, but 719.
Hey, that is 719 opportunities to mail them things about Sam Houston here forward. From this point forward, you know, like use some of this money to get some stamps and mail out things and get more of these alumni back in attracted to what's happening at Sam, and also the opportunity to give. Place a little envelope in there. Make it like it, you know, like you do on the Sunday morning. Put a little envelope in with your brochure, you know?
There you go. Yeah, and I know from a football perspective, $250,000 can go a long way, whether it be nutrition. I know Coach Keeler talked to us about how there's so many midweek games, you got to buy additional laptops for players so they can attend classes while on the road, educational scholarships that you might be able to offer players. Maybe you could hire additional staff, that kind of thing with that kind of money. So $250,000 is big, I mean, and it's going to help.
So you're telling me the football team is responsible for buying the computers for the athletes to perform their duties of playing conference games in the middle of the week?
It's kind of what it sounded like. I know that was one of the items that they mentioned that they needed more of was computers for when they go travel. So don't know if that's fully on them or if they have to cover a share of it or whatever that looks like, but you got to imagine there's probably some additional educational needs. And I think the football team goes fully online that semester, so maybe that's part of it to try to help cover those additional fees because everything's online. So
I'm all for it. The money's got to come from somewhere, and I know you're not going to get the university to volunteer to give a chunk of cash
to a football player for a laptop. Yeah.
yeah all because, you know, you're playing a midweek game. As important as athletics are to us, it's not important to everyone that way.
Right, exactly. And when you're in Kennesaw, Georgia on a Wednesday night before your Thursday game and you need to do your schoolwork, you got to have a laptop.
Is there anything around? I mean, is there Wi-Fi in Kennesaw, Georgia?
It's not far from Atlanta.
Okay.
It's a suburb of Atlanta.
Man, I know Texas. Right? There's some places in Texas I don't know as well.
There you go. But, yeah, and speaking of Atlanta, one of the cool things since I know we're talking about the auction and giving and all that, one of the cool things at the auction was they had one of the things you could bid on in the live auction was a 2 plane tickets with the team to go to Atlanta for the Kennesaw game, stay with the team, eat with the team, sideline passes for the game. So they did that for the Atlanta trip to Kennesaw. They did it for the UCF trip to Orlando. They did it for the Rice game down to Houston. And then they also did it for the Texas game next year as well. And so those were some cool things that people had the opportunity to bid on.
Nice. Well, that was a good time. And look, if you missed out on the auction or you missed out on Giving Day, it's all right. There's still a way that you can give to the cats, and that is through the Cat Fund, who also is there to help support these athletes. Ben, tell us a little more about Cat Fund and how people can get involved.
Yeah, cat-fund.com. You can sign up there as little as $10 a month and help support these athletes and provide NIL opportunities. And then you also get, whether it be a sticker, shirt, access to meet and greets, exclusive content, all those different kind of things when you become a member. So definitely a good way to get involved if you want to support these athletes is to get involved with Cat Fund. And one of the cool things we had this last weekend was we had a meet and greet for some of our members with Coach Keeler, where they had the opportunity to ask him questions about spring ball and just get to kind of pick his brain before the auction. So it's stuff like that if you're a Cat Fund member that you get to do that not a lot of other people get to do.
Did anyone ask for, like, specific stunt calls on the defensive line or anything?
No, nothing on specific stunt calls that I remember. Nothing that specific. What did you see from XYZ this spring? What's your opinion on scheduling philosophy?
Yeah.
Those were not what is your go-to formation when the defense lines up in this formation, or A-gap blitz or corner blitz, nothing specific.
It's not who you think should be the Y and the X receiver and ask them why they're not putting them there?
No, it was not.
Huh.
Maybe you could have become a Cat Fund member and maybe you could have fired some of those off.
Could I? Coach, I'm going to need your favorite play a la Spider Y Banana, okay?
And speaking of favorite plays, the auction – the year before COVID, so obviously COVID happened right in the middle of spring ball because it was in the middle of mid-March, so a lot of spring balls were getting started or right in the middle of it, but there was an auction that year, and Don Sanders, you probably have heard the name Don Sanders, he won the auction item, the auction before spring that year to call the first play of the spring game. There was no spring game that year, and so he got to call the first game of the spring game this year, which I thought was pretty cool.
Nice. Also, at home, if you hear an engine going, it is area beautification work going on outside. So
fancy way to say landscaping?
Yes.
And guess what play he called on the first play? I thought this was really funny.
Spider 2Y Banana.
No, it was quarterback draw with Grant Gunnell. And he picked up 7 yards. You got to give it to him.
You know what? If you catch the defense by surprise.
I think that was part of it. It was yeah. Because he was – I mean, there was nobody there. And Keeler was saying you could have run triple reverse. You could have run wildcat formation or whatever, but he went with quarterback draw.
I would have said spider 2Y banana. Let's go. Keeler, give me your favorite spider. You know what I would do? I want him to draw out and tell me exactly the play that won the national championship.
Oh, that would have been cool.
He can do that. I know he can.
Yeah. That would have been. They should have started it on, like, what was it, the 8-yard line or whatever it was where he threw it in?
Yeah. I want him to draw that play up. What all the keys were. Who's the one receiver to? What did he see? I want all of that, right? Like, let's bring it up on a tablet and walk me through it, type of thing.
And I was gonna, before we get to the last segment, staying with the national title, the 3-year anniversary of the beginning of the national title run is today. So today, 3 years ago, we beat Monmouth and started the run to the national title.
It is so crazy to think 3 years ago we were watching playoff college football in April.
And we were all in, weren't we?
And some of us are saying, hey, let's go back to those wonderful times of 2020.
Right.
I personally, I'm a lot happier having football in the fall. That is just my personal opinion. Before we get off of the Cat Fund, though, Ben, I would love for you to tell the people one more time where they can go to get involved.
Yeah, cat-fund.com is the place to go. We're also on Twitter/X, cat_fund, and on Instagram, I believe, is just catfund. So you can find us there on social media, and then cat-fund is the website.
And before we head into our last segment or leg, as we like to call it, we want to let you know about our friends over at Eternal Roofing one more time. And when you talk about someone that loves Sam Houston, You're talking about Taylor Andrus. He is an alum. He loves to support the Cats, and he is all about supporting the Cats. But he also has a business here, Eternal Roofing, and they do a darn good job. They use high-quality stuff. They've got Certainty shingles, which, by the way, they last forever, and they look tremendous. And let's say you got a business and you need somebody to do that commercial roofing. They have you covered. They can move around any – they can work around, move around any equipment you have on the roof. They're going to limit the amount of disruptions you get in your operations. You definitely want to give them a call. They are your contact throughout the Hill Country, Houston area, and as I like to give Taylor, the state of Texas. They are the ones to call. And here's how you get a hold of them. Montgomery office, area code 936-215-8539. Hill Country, area code 830-251-5673. Or you can email taylor@eternalroofingtx.com. And remember, when you're there at eternalroofingtx.com, I want to remind you again, take a couple minutes, go to the gallery, see some of their past projects and projects they're working on. They do a tremendous job, and it is great work. And you know what else is great? Miscellaneous is back. This is where we give you a little smorgasbord of everything. And we're going to mix it around. We're going to start with golf, men's golf. They are in the Conference USA tournament, and they have advanced. They're second. I believe they've got a second wrapped up through stroke play. And they are into match play where they will meet, was it Liberty?
Liberty.
Liberty. Ben, that all sounds great, right? Oh, good, the Cats dominated all 3 days. No, tell us how they got there, Ben.
Yeah, a little bit of a roller coaster ride to get there. Day one was very rocky. I think they were second or third to last after the first day, which was really surprising. But they really kicked it into gear in round two and three. Yesterday, round two had the lowest score of the day of any team, and then same thing again today, and I think they shot minus 10 today, which was five strokes better than any other team and kind of blew everybody out. So maybe you're peaking at the right time, getting hot, going into match play. And, yeah, if you win the conference tournament, you win match play, you'll be right there in the NCAA regionals just like the women are, and that'd be cool to get both of them in there.
Hey, good segue. It works. Because the women are headed to the regionals, and they don't have to go far. They are headed to Bryan, Texas. And they got the Bryan Regional at the Traditions Club. And the top seed there, Ben, is LSU.
It is, yeah. Hosted by A&M, top seed LSU. You are the 10 seed out of the 12 teams in that region. Play kicks off May 6th. There's six different regional sites. And then I can't remember if it's the top two or top four. The top five teams from each region will advance to the national championship. There'll be 30 teams at the national championship on May 17th through the 22nd. So, it's exciting times. Getting the top five, move on to the national title. And it's a really exciting time for both of our golf programs. Men trying to get into the tournament. We'll find out tomorrow, and then women are already there, and we find out where they're going.
Is there any chance if the men don't win match play that they could get an at-large into the regional?
I think it's possible. They came in pretty hot. They're a team that I think has received an at-large before. And they've got – I mean, it's like in basketball. You see kind of the power five teams that maybe shouldn't get in, do get in just because of their name. Sam Houston is a name in golf that the past couple of years has carried a lot of weight. So I don't know the exact seeding and how it looks like if they don't win, but this is a team that I think got ninth at the national tournament a couple of years ago. So they're respected out there. Maybe the name could carry some value, but I think it'd probably be 50-50.
Something else cool about golf is the top five teams go, and then a certain number of individuals on the teams not making it also get to advance. So that's something cool that they do, and something to watch too. If Sam Houston some chance doesn't get past A&M, LSU, Clemson, Vanderbilt, SMU, SMU, Ohio State, Iowa State, Texas State, that's a lot of Texas schools there, Sacred Heart, Little Rock. If they're not able to do that, but individually there are some people that could get through. Who are some of the individuals to watch from the women's side?
Yeah, Jen Erbst, she's the name to watch. She got second in Conference USA play, lost by a stroke. But the person she lost to by a stroke to from New Mexico State is one of the top golfers in the country, has won every event she's played in this year. And so if you're looking on the women's side, it's probably Jen Erbst. She is very, very good, and I think she could have a legit shot if the Cats don't place in the top five.
Has anyone Nancy Kerrigan a golf player before?
Is there Nancy Kerrigan on our team?
No.
Oh.
Do you?
I know the reference.
Yes. Has anyone Nancy Kerrigan on a golf player before?
I don't know. I haven't heard of that one. I think it's just ice skating, right? I think that's
wrestling
or something.
Well, that was, that was an ice skating drama way, way, way back in the day.
Right. Yeah, but I saw a stat. I wonder if I can pull it up from Conference USA, but this girl for New Mexico State, goodness, she has been on a heater this season.
Any way to break her putter? Would that be legal?
Go out there and she'll be a stroke down or a club down.
She's a putter down. Not just look, if you're so great, get it in there with your pitching wedge on the green. Go.
Exactly. Where is it? I can't find it. We'll just move on.
How happy would a golf grounds crew be to see a pitching wedge on a green?
That would be interesting.
I tell you what, someone go try it and let me know how that goes for you.
Yes. Let's see. I can't find it here in 2 seconds, but this girl's just been on a heater.
Well.
Yeah, I can't find it. Oh, well.
Yeah, well, that's fine because she's not a Cats player, and we need to break
her
putter.
There you go. Forget her.
Yeah. But she's gonna. You're not gonna forget her for long because she's gonna end up in first place.
Probably. Yeah, and I saw she was seated as the number one player in the regional she's in. It's a regional in Washington. She's ranked as the number one player in the entire regional. So we'll see. But we don't care about New Mexico State.
Thank God that ain't in the Bryan regional.
Right. I know.
That's all that matters, right?
Yep.
On the diamonds, we have baseball. They had a sweep over a sweep. Middle Tennessee State. They did a sweep. But then they lost to Baylor yesterday. A little more of the up and down. The baseball, it's hard. This is how it is, man. I mean, sometimes you're up, sometimes you're down. We talked about, I think, last week or week before, they've already pretty much put themselves in a must-win position.
Right, and I think I said they had one more conference loss if they were going to try to find their way into an at-large, and then they would probably have to make it all the way to the conference title. So even that doesn't look very likely. As of now, you just want to position yourself the absolute best you can for the conference tournament. And there's a big series coming up this weekend against Louisiana Tech to where if you can grab 2 out of 3, you can start to work your way back up into the top three, maybe top two by the end of the season.
Can we overstate the importance of this La Tech series?
I don't think you can because they're a team that could sweep you and you could fall all the way down to 7 or 8, or it's a series where if you sweep it, you're right back up in maybe the 2 seed. And so, I mean, it's big.
You don't want to get svept.
No.
Okay, that's past tense for svept. Svept. You don't want to get svept. That would put you way down. So yeah, then a 1-2, 2-1, 2-3 would be probably ideal. You can't go in thinking you're going to sweep this team 3-3. You know, if you get the opportunity, you do it, great. But if they win one. Does that still put them in a position that they're okay for now?
You would be okay, I think, just because the remainder of your schedule is somewhat easy. I mean, you get Jacksonville State, who's 3-9, and then you get FIU, who's also in the middle of the pack. So losing 2 out of 3 wouldn't be the best. You'd still be 5th or 6th. Right now you're 6th. A sweep would probably keep you 6th. Because you've got 7 wins, the 7th place team has 4. But if you can sweep, you've got a chance to get up to maybe even the 2nd spot after just this weekend. So we'll see. There's just so much variance right now.
So this weekend could make for – it could set up for a good tournament run. It could set up for a very, very challenging tournament run if you make it. Or it could keep you where you're still needing to – where you're at kind of in a lot of ways.
Right.
I'll worst take case, one. Yeah.
Yeah, worst case scenario, you get swept and you're probably sixth or seventh going into the conference tournament, regardless of what you do. Best case scenario, you sweep and you're tied for probably the second spot, and you're in a really good spot because you've got a decent schedule going the rest of the way. Or you lose 2 out of 3, win 2 out of 3, maybe you're fifth, and you still got a chance to bump up or move down. So we'll see. There's a lot that could happen.
Just don't get swept.
No, that would be a disaster.
What about softball? How are the ladies doing? Are they getting? They should be getting close, I think, to conference tournament time.
Yeah, conference tournament's May 8th. They've only got 2 weeks left in the regular season. Got a really big one tonight. Texas A&M is on campus playing in Huntsville, number 11 Texas A&M. And then you fly out to Florida for a weekend series. And so it's going to be crunch time. I think they're tied for 8th, maybe tied for 7th right now in the standings. So they're another team that they've got the opportunity to maybe bump up towards the middle, maybe the upper half if they kind of get hot. Or they could falter and maybe end up in last. And so it's going to be a big week for them. Big night tonight with A&M on campus, and then a big last 2 weeks of conference play.
So they're heading out to FIU?
Yeah, FIU this weekend on the road.
How good is FIU? Would we need to be worried about it, or is there a chance for a sweep?
Yeah, let me go ahead and look at the Conference USA softball standings, because I know where Sam Houston is, but I don't know where a lot of the other teams are. Kind of pay attention to yourself a little more than the others.
What?
So Sam Houston is tied for 7th, and they are tied with FIU for 7th.
Big series.
Yeah, big series. And they're only a couple games out of last place, a couple games out of, like, 6th place. And so a big series for them, too. I think the highest they could reach is about 5th, but 5th is a lot better than 9th. So
big series for both teams. Like, you've got two desperate teams. That's going to be some fun, important softball to watch. Is there anything that I'm missing that's going on? I think that, man, spring keeps you busy around here.
It does, yeah. We've got 2-3 weeks of pedal to the metal. A lot of sports still in action. I know the basketball transfer portal is still opening, and maybe some news on that will come in the next week or so. But, yeah, still a busy time, but I think we covered it all.
Outstanding. And in a lot more time than it needed to be done, because Corey just kept going off track.
It's the way to do it.
It's why we have a podcast, so we can just give you random stuff that we don't even mention we're going to talk about.
Exactly.
And that's why we want to say thank you to everyone. Thank you, Ben, for joining me here. This is wonderful. Thank you to the listeners, to the viewers. Without you, we're not doing any of this. Ben, until we have an opportunity to record again, lead us out with a weekend sweep of the darn lady texters.
Of the male texters. Eat 'em up, cats. Sweep the male texters. Sweep the lady panthers. Go win a golf title. Just do a lot of winning.
We'll just call them the texters. Sweep.
Sweep.